الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذ ابتلى إبراهيم ربه بكلمات فأتمهن وقال تعالى ألم تر إلى الذي حاج إبراهيم في ربه أن آتاه الله الملك صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Respected ulama ikram, elders, brothers and friends, we are coming to the season of Hajj. And Hajj is synonymous with Ibrahim alayhi salam and his family, one of the greatest anbiya alayhi salatu was salam. Ulul azmi min al-rusul, he is part of those anbiya alayhi salatu was salam who had firm resolve and determination. And our creed and millah is coming from Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam. In fact, all major religions claim to follow Ibrahim alayhi salam. But we know the reality that it is only the Muslims, the followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who are truly following the way of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So being this the occasion, the months of Hajj have already begun from Shawwal, Dhul-Qa'dah. Hajj has already begun. People in the past used to put on the ihram from Shawwal and travel towards Makkatul Mukarramah to fulfill the obligation of Hajj. So since it revolves around Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, his life, the life of his wife and children, I thought it apt to discuss some parts of his life. And there are so many qissas and stories mentioned regarding the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam in the Quran Majid, in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. There are so many great lessons we can derive from them. Allah mentions, وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى. Or before that, أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِي حَاجَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ فِي رَبِّهِ أَنْ أَتَاهُ اللَّهُ الْمُلْكِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't you see, don't you ponder and think about the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Regarding the time when the king argued with him, we should remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam through many tests in his life. And in all these incidents, in all these places, Ibrahim alayhi salam passed the test with flying colors. فَأَتَمَّهُنْ Quran mentions, he completed all the tasks which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put before him. So this was one of them. Mufassirin say, this was at the time when he was taken out of the fire that he was put in. Prior to this, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, a youngster of youth, young age, he approaches his father and he says that, why are you worshipping idols? So the father does not listen to him. The father is the seller of idols, the maker of idols. Nonetheless, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam thought to himself that, how can I explain to my father that the things that he is worshipping and the people are worshipping are not the right ilah, they are not the correct God to worship, they are not the correct deity. So, on the occasion of Eid, he thinks to himself that this is the appropriate time, I will try to make them understand that the idols they are worshipping have no benefit, no harm, they cannot do anything. So he goes, when the people have all left the city, and they have gone out for whatever ibadat they were doing, he went into that Ibadat Khana of theirs, and he destroyed those idols, and he took the axe that he used and put it on the head of the biggest idol. And now when the people return, They become infuriated. They become angry, raging with anger. And then they think that, yeah, there is some youngster talking about our idols. Perhaps it is him, and they summon him. And they say, did you do this to our idols, O Ibrahim? أَأَنْتَ فَعَلْتَ هَذَا بِآلِهَتِنَا يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ. He says, لا. قَالَ بَلْ فَعَلَهُ كَبِيرُهُمْ هَذَا فَاسْأَلُوهُمْ إِنْ كَانُوا يَنْطِقُونَ. He says, the biggest one of them has done this. Ask them if they can speak. So then they automatically realize that these idols cannot even speak. They cannot even talk. And they want to accept. But then eventually shaitan overpowers them again. And they say, no, we will have to protect and defend our idols. Just look at this. The idols which they have made with their own hands, they're worshipping, cannot even defend them. They have to defend their own idols. So nonetheless, after he is removed from this fire, Allah mentions this incident in Quran. أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِي حَاجَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ فِي رَبِّهِ أَنْ أَتَاهُ اللَّهُ الْمُلْكِ. Don't you look at that person who argued with Ibrahim a.s. because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him kingdom. This was the reason. He was king. And Mufassirin mentioned he was Numrud. Or sometimes you will hear the people saying Namrud. This is the same person, Numrud. Mujahid, Mufassir of the Quran, mentions four people ruled the entire world, Mashriq to Maghrib, east to west. Two were Muslims, two were Kuffar. The two that were Muslims were Sulaiman alayhi salam and Dhulqarnain. And the two that were Kuffar, one was this Numrud and the other was Bukht Nassar. So he is standing in front of this king after he has been taken out of that fire. And the king is asking him, he never met this king before. The king is asking questions. أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِي حَاجَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ فِي رَبِّهِ أَنْ أَتَاهُ اللَّهُ الْمُلْكِ. They say, why was he asking this question? Why did he deny and reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because Allah had given him mulk. Because Allah had given him kingdom. Allah had given him power over the people. And he ruled for a very long time. Just like that, Fir'aun ruled for a very long time. Mufassirin mentioned for 400 years he was the ruler. And everything was happening in front of him. So that pride built up in him. And he expressed to the people that he is doing everything. So in the same way, this king says to Ibrahim, who is your Rabb? Rabbi alladhi yuhyi wa yumit. Ibrahim replies, my Rabb is that being who gives life and death. There are two opinions amongst the Mufassirin here. Some say that he brought two people who were deserving to be killed from the prison. And he had one slain and killed, and the other one he set free. And he explained to Ibrahim alayhi salam, I give life and death. This is how I give life and death. But others say because of his pride, because of the position that Allah had given him, the high position that he had been afforded to by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of pride he said that he is also the one who gives life and death. And we all know, it is only one being who gives life and death, one being who controls the entire universe, one being who is making things happen, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Ibrahim alayhi salam brought this first, they say, to build up the argument that Allah is the one who gives life and death. So he replied, أَنَا أُحْيِي وَأُمِيتْ. Thereafter Ibrahim alayhi salam says, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْتِي بِالشَّمْسِ مِنَ الْمَشْرِقِ فَأْتِ بِهَا مِنَ الْمَغْرِبِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Allah that I am worshipping, He is the one who makes the sun rise in the east every day and set in the west. So you bring it, you make the sun rise from the west. So we all know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has given life and Allah gives death. Allah brings life into everything and Allah takes life away from whatever He wishes. And that thing which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates, Allah has full control over it. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants it to rise, it will rise. When Allah wants it to set, it will set. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to block off the light, Allah blocks off the light, we will see eclipse. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants it to rain, it rains. So everything that Allah has created is in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah has full power to do whatever He wishes, with whatever He wants of His creation. So now Ibrahim alayhi salam says to him, that you claim that you are giving life and death also, so then you control these things. Allah is the one who brings the sun from the east and makes it set in the west. You change the system. فَبُهِتَ الَّذِي كَفَرْ. Now there is no answer to this. Even his pride cannot answer here now. Initially his pride told him to say that I also give life and death. Very easy to say. Now, Ibrahim a.s. completed the argument against him. Now he has no answer to this. فَبُهِتَ الَّذِي كَفَرَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, there, the person is dumbfounded. He has no jawab. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the proof that Ibrahim alayhi salam gave for the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, had become complete. So this was one of the incidents in the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Thereafter it is said, that why did Ibrahim alayhi salam go to him in the first place? They say the people used to go and collect some food rations. The king used to give out food to the people. So Ibrahim alayhi salam also joined those people who went to collect some food. But after he gave jawab, after the king knew this is the person that came out from the fire, and this whole process of questioning and argument occurred between him and the king let him go and he did not give him anything. So Ibrahim alayhi salam now returning home, he didn't want to go home empty-handed. So he had a bag and a sack. He went to a certain mountain, whatever, a hill with sand. He filled it up with his sand and he took it home. He says, this will make my family busy for a little while. They will think there is something. He went home. He left that one side and he went to sleep. His wife, Mufassirin mentioned, his wife Sarah, after he woke up, presented some food to him. So he asked her, where you got this food from? He says, from that which you have brought. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed that sand that he had brought in the home to rizq tayyib for him. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just by the way, mentions another qissa in the Qur'an, and that is the qissa of, some say Uzair alayhi salam, some say it is Khadir, or what we know as Khidr alayhi salam, but whoever it is, this is another incident which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings to show us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gives life and death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has full control over life and death. This is one of the fundamental beliefs that we have. We learnt in Maktab, آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَالْبَعْثِ بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to resurrect us after we die. One day we will be given life again. So Allah is the one who gives life and death. This qissa in the Qur'an explains to us how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do it. So whoever the person was from the Bani Israel, this person is passing through a place. Allah mentions, أَوْ كَالَّذِي مَرَّ عَلَىٰ قَرْيَةٍ وَهِيَ خَاوِيَةٌ عَلَىٰ عُرُوشِهَا. He's passing by a village which had become isolated. There was nobody left in that place. خَاوِيَةٌ عَلَىٰ عُرُوشِهَا. The roofs of the place had fallen down. The walls had all fallen down. The place is brought into utter ruin. And this reminds us about our people in Baytul Maqdis. Mufassirin say this happened there. This exact village was the village of Palestine. Baytul Maqdis. The king of that time, Bukhtu Nassar, he is the one who destroyed the entire place and killed all the people there. So this prophet, either it was Uzair alayhi salam or Khadir or whoever it was, is walking past that area and he sees the whole place is destroyed. There's nothing left, rubble. Not a single soul to be seen. So he thinks to himself, قَالَ أَنَّا يُحْيَ هَذِهِ اللَّهُ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا. How will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give life to this place after it become dead like this? Obviously he had no doubt, but it was a question of how can Allah do it, in which manner will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do it? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to show this Nabi that the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing can come, nothing can overpower Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything is in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah makes him sleep for 100 years, or rather gives him death. فَأَمَاتَهُ اللَّهُ مِئَةَ عَامٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes his soul away and makes him die for 100 years. After 100 years, he is given life again by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But within that time, the books of tafsir mention 70 years after he had passed away, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought that city back. The people came back and they began to rebuild that entire city until it became a bustling city again. So, when he woke up, immediately he is seen something different now. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked, قَالَ كَمْ لَبِثْتُ, through an angel, that how long have you stayed here? So they say he went there in the morning, the sun had just risen, and he slept away. or he passed away as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed. And thereafter when Allah gave him life again, then it was close to sunset. So when Allah asked him, قَالَ كَمْ لَبِثْتَ He replied, لَبِثْتُ يَوْمًا أَوْ بَعْضَ يَوْمًا I have been here for a day or even part of a day. Because he only stayed there. He thought it was a sunset of the same day. قَالَ بَلْ لَبِثْتَ مِئَةَ عَامٍ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no. You have stayed here for 100 years. And now, to show him even more, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives life to the dead, he had carried some food with him. Some grapes and some other food. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look, انظر إلى طعامك وشرابك. Look at your food and your drink. لم يتسنى. It has not changed. 100 years, what will happen to the grapes? It will go off. But look at your food. لم يتسنى. وانظر إلى حمارك. And he came on a donkey. Now 100 years, the donkey cannot live. The donkey was dead and long gone. There were only bones that were scattered where he was. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a wind. وَانْظُرْ إِلَىٰ حِمَارِكَ وَلِنَجْعَلَكَ آيَةً لِلنَّاسِ We will make you a sign to the people that Allah gives life and death. He became a living example of life and death to the people. So وَانْظُرْ إِلَىٰ حِمَارِكَ وَلِنَجْعَلَكَ آيَةً لِلنَّاسِ We will make you a sign to the people. وَانْظُرْ إِلَىٰ حِمَارِكَ وَلِنَجْعَلَكَ آيَةً لِلنَّاسِ وَانْظُرْ إِلَىٰ الْعِظَامِ كَيْفَ نُنْشِزُهَا ثُمَّ نَكْسُوهَا لَحْمًا So the wind came and began to put the bones into place, one above the other, until it became the skeleton of a donkey without any flesh. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clothed those bones with flesh. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent an angel. It blew into the two nostrils of that donkey and life came in and it began to bray. And in front of his eyes he saw how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives life to death. فَلَمَّا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ قَالَ أَعْلَمُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ When it became apparent to him that how the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala works, he says that I now know, or one tafsir is, I am now the most knowledgeable person in the entire world about the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding giving life and death. Thereafter Allah mentions another qissa of Ibrahim alayhi salam. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a similar question. How do you give life to that which is dead? Allah asks him, قَالَ أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ Don't you believe? Don't you have اطمنان in your heart regarding this, that I am the one who gives life and death? قَالَ بَلَى He said, definitely. وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي But I want some more. I want عِلْمُ الْيَقِينَ to become عَيْنُ الْيَقِينَ One is a person who has knowledge of something. We all know that there is a place, for example, called Makkah. But many of us have not been to that place. And when we go there and visit, then it becomes Aynul Yaqeen. We have seen it with our own eyes. But we know it's definite, 100% the truth. But we haven't seen it with our own eyes. So he wanted to see the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَالَ بَلَى وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي قَالَ فَخُذْ أَرْبَعَةً مِنَ الطَّيْرِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him, take four birds. In tafsir, there's many different opinions of what birds they were. But nonetheless, he takes four birds. أَرْبَعَةً مِنَ الطَّيْرِ فَصْهُرْهُنَّ إِلَيْكَ Tie them up by you. Slaughter them. So that's what he did. He took them and he slaughtered them. And then he skinned them. And then he portioned them. And then he made smaller pieces. And then he mixed everything up together. ثُمَّ جَعَلَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ جَبَلٍ مِّنْهُنَّ جُزْءًا Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, take a portion of each of this mixture and put it on the top of mountains. So the Mufassirin mentioned on four mountain tops he put them, or on seven mountain tops. And then Allah says, ثُمَّ ادْعُهُنَّ Then call unto them. And they also mentioned that he kept the heads of these birds with him. So he had the heads of these birds in his hand, and he put the different portions all mixed up on the different mountains, and then he called unto them. ثُمَّ ادْعُهُنَّ Allah says, يَأْتِينَكَ سَعْيَ They will come running, rushing towards you. So when he called out to them, he saw with his own eyes those feathers that were all mixed up with the meat and the intestines and the entrails of the animal all coming up together again. And the birds were formed in front of his eyes and they came from those mountains rushing but without heads. And they came to him. He took one head and put it on. But at one instance he took another head and put it on the different bird. But that bird never accepted until he put the right head on it. And he saw with his own eyes how Allah fuses the head to the body. And then those birds began flying. وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ Know well that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most powerful. Allah is most powerful. Nothing can overpower Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah is Hakim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does as He pleases. Allah is the most wise. So from these incidents of the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam, we derive great benefit. These two qissas or three qissas that have been mentioned, one is to renew our belief in ba'ath ba'd al-maut. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give life to us after we are dead. How will it happen? That is in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Certain people like these Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah physically showed them that Allah gives life to the dead. But majority of us, we do not see that system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we have to believe in it firmly. Person who does not believe in ba'ath ba'd al-maut, resurrection after dying, then he cannot be a true believer. He will leave this world without true iman. And the day of qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise him with the kuffar, who did not believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give life to death. So these are a few qissas. There are many more stories in the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam, which will take many hours to explain. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may make it such that we derive full benefit from the Qur'an Kareem. That is why we have to get a copy, an authentic copy, an authentic tafsir of the Qur'an, and recite Qur'an and learn tafsir, and see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to us. Qur'an is full of knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with some of the knowledge of Qur'an. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.